Good morning again. Welcome back. I'm Susie Jones. In this next hour, we're going to talk all things automotive. And we have with us on our newsline, Nick Stoffel with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning, Nick. Susie Jones in for Laura. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I have a car situation that just happened to me. I was driving my car recently and I heard, I love it when people do their noises.
Me too.
Okay. It was like that in the back.
All right.
And I was thinking, I wonder what that is. And then I thought, well, maybe I've been up north in northern Minnesota where I've been on dirt roads.
And good been, job.
Yeah. And I thought maybe it's some rocks or something with all this road construction over in my neighborhood on Louisiana. It's like driving on a mountain. Oh. You know what I mean? Because you're up and down.
I think you're onto something. So usually when people have those noises and they give us the example, and it's sometimes silly and comical, but the follow-up questions are what's important. Now, you gave me one clue. You did say from the rear, I believe. What else makes that noise change? Is it speed? Are you applying the brakes? Are you turning? Is there anything that makes it change? What makes the noise change?
Brakes, when I hit the brakes.
So you apply the brakes. I think you're also right on when you mentioned rocks, because a lot of times you get on a dirt road, or really we'll see when they oil the streets and they put that gravel, that really light gravel down, or the alleyways here in St. Paul, people will come in the following week saying, I've got something wrong with my brakes, a pebble, a rock, some gravel got caught up between the brake rotor and the caliper, and obviously it's stuck there. And when you rotate or apply the brakes, you get the little record crunchy noise. First thing you can try doing is backing up and applying the brakes. Maybe you've already done that, but a lot of times going in one direction, it gets stuck. You go the other direction, freeze it up. Sometimes it's a matter of bringing it in. We pull the wheel off. It's pretty straightforward. You'll find that debris, that whatever it is, remove it pretty easily, put the wheel back on, you're going down the road. So I would hope in this situation, it's nothing more than that.
Well, can I, in the spirit of true honesty, because that's how I live my life to the best of my ability, I did take it in, and it was the brakes. It was the brake pad. Oh, dear. So that was a pretty hefty little bill, I must say.
Well, now that you can do a little diagnosing, maybe you can start moonlighting at the shop for us.
That's a thing I'll talk about later. We want to make sure that we get our listeners involved here at 651-461-9226. A texter did write just now, I had a scratching sound in the rear a while ago, and it turned out it was a stick. So sometimes it can be benign and not hurt your pocketbook, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing that I feel that by nature, we hear something, think something, we try to avoid it or ignore it, thinking it's going to get better. Oh, the noise went away. It's gone. It's better. That can be the case, but it also could mean something's gotten worse. So I always tell people is at least let somebody look at it. Let them perform the diagnosis. There might be a little cost associated with that, but at least you know what you're dealing with. You can talk with those folks, come up with a timeline, plan it, budget it. It doesn't necessarily mean I show up today and I have to give them all my money. So, there are situations where something has failed. Well, in that situation, something has failed. But if something can be maintained or, you can carry it for a little time, you absolutely can try that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, if you're just tuning in, it is 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and it is our car care show with Nick Stoffel with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, a great shop. I always wonder this, how long can a car go in terms of miles? You hear some styles will go 250,000 miles. Is there an average mileage of a car, or do they all vary based on different problems within the car?
I think it's more the people, like everything, right? Maintenance. I think most every new vehicle on the road, if you do the maintenance and take care of it, there might be some hiccups along the way. You can't predict that. But I think typically what happens is either we get a new car, we give the car to a relative or sell it or trade it in. I don't think there's necessarily a reason where a car is worn out. I mean, it happens. But usually when we see catastrophic situations, it's usually related to the lack of maintenance over an extended period of time. So Is Do you have a car that you like?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it oil the biggest
Oil, yeah. I mean, oil is the basic, the thing that we always focus on. You know, you do your oil changes, and when Danny and I, we'd always talk about 5,000 miles on synthetic. Conventional oil, which is kind of old school at this point. Most all newer vehicles have synthetic oil, but a conventional oil would be 3,000 miles. Manufacturers might recommend differently. I give my recommend based on what we see every day. And it is oil. You know, the lack of lubrication, the sludge, the buildup. Oil does more than just lubricate. It runs a lot of the timing mechanisms in engines. So there's a lot more responsibility for oil now than there used to be. So keeping good, clean, fresh oil in there is the best thing you can do for your car. There's other systems, obviously. You follow your maintenance interval, your schedules. They talk about spark plugs, coolant, transmission fluids. So there's a lot of things that need to be done, but not all the time. You know, you follow that interval or that schedule, you spread it over a period of months or years, it makes it a little more reasonable.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question for Nick Stoffel with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We're talking car care with you this hour.
I do have a question, too.
Oh, you do?
Every now and then I'll throw it when I would fill in with Denny. I would also have a car question.
Oh, wow.
Nick knows kind of the, I mean, I had a fender bender. I went to him about that. So, Nick, I'm currently, I drive an Equinox, and I've been the last week or so hearing, and this is when I accelerate and or I'm driving it, I'm hearing a rattling noise, which sounds obviously, because I've heard these sounds before, it sounds like something is under the hood. What could this possibly be?
This is what we were talking about. I wonder if the condition of the oil, the level of the oil, okay. There's a lot of valve timing that uses that oil. If the oil is a little bit low or used up, you might have some ticking or rattling from that. Okay. Have that looked at, because that's an example where I heard this noise and I'll wait. If there's something going with that because of oil, you get fresh oil, you get that system working properly again, it's happy. Mm-hmm. If we ignore it or avoid it, it can get worse and create a permanent damage.
Just didn't know if it was a transmission thing or whatever, because it sounds like something like that's in the engine that's making like the knocking or rattling noise.
So. Usually transmission, we hear more like a whining, humming type of deal. Usually knocking is something loose, which is more likely something with the engine.
Okay.
651-461-9226. If you have a question about your car, maybe it's making a noise. Maybe you would like to know what time and what mileage point to get what done. 651-461-9226. Let's take this question from a texter. This person writes, Nick, that they have noise under the hood on an Equinox and on an, it is a cracked exhaust manifold pipe.
Okay, so that should be fixed. A couple reasons. The main reason is when we have exhaust leaking, that noise that you hear. I'm making examples too.
Good.
That is exhaust escaping under the hood, which means it can make its way into the compartment where we're seated, and we don't want that. That's bad. Also, that's excessive heat, which can create other damage to systems and things under the hood. So that can be caused depending where the failure is, but it's sometimes probably a priority. I guess I have no idea what the cost of the timeline on that is. I can't visualize how that's all assembled and put together, but I know that with most newer vehicles, as we know, they really can jam a lot of stuff into a small space. So there might be a little bit of a little cost associated with that, but have it looked at, get the estimate. It's something that you need to budget sooner than later because we don't want that exhaust getting inside the vehicle.
Very good. We're going to take our first break. Again, it is almost 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. News Talk 830 WCCO, 63 degrees outside. It is 7:31 on a Saturday morning. My name is Susie Jones in for Laura Oakes this weekend as she is on vacation. It is the time of the week we take a look under the hood, our car care hour with Nick Stoffel, who is with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And we invite you to be part of the show at 651-461-9226. Please call us or text us. We like it when you make sounds. That's an incredibly important part of this show. We like to hear what... Nick, we have a text question. It's kind of an interesting one. I'm going to read it for you. Good morning. I have three vehicles, the oldest being a 2013 the newest, a 2025. I have maintained each according to the manufacturer. I'm wondering how often I should drive each car. The 2013 has 52,000 miles and is only driven in the summer, which means the other two sit most of the summer. Thank you.
It's a great question and a good problem to have. More wheels, no to do with. you know, it's important for everything to stretch its legs, whether it's a car, it's us, you know, all things considering. You know, we always tell a lot of folks that ask, you know, I just don't drive as much as I used to. It's just to, you know, my place of worship. It's to the doctor, to the grocery store. And I always like to say, if the weather's good, you're comfortable, you're confident, take the long way. You know, if you can get it on the highway, you still have the confidence to do that. You need to do that. It's good for the exhaust to kind of get all that moisture out. Good for those brakes to heat up and clean up. The steering suspension components, let that lubrication work its way around. So, you know, it's not that, I start the vehicle, let it run in the driveway for 10 minutes. That doesn't do it. You need to get behind the wheel and get down the road. So if you're in capacity to be able to hit the highway, go for a 10-minute, 15-minute drive. You know, if you're going to the grocery store, go to the one in the next town over. You know, don't make a whole change in your life, but a few extra miles from time to time is really good for the car.
So that person listening should drive each of the vehicles periodically in the way you've just described in order to keep the juices flowing?
I think so. Now, the one you only drive in the summer, obviously there's a process when you put it away for the winter. You store it, you do some things with the fuel and the tires, and, you know, depends on how you store it and where you store it, a variety of things there. You know, I wouldn't say take your classic car out on the salty road. That wouldn't be good. But, I think even the cars that are you drive year-round, take them from time to time, you know, to do an errand and, you know, keep things, like you said, keep the juices flowing. I like that example because I think it's important that the cars do have that happen so we can prevent any excessive corrosion or rust or, you know, things happen when things sit too. So a bit of driving is not a bad thing.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question or a thought. Josh, you want to just tell us who's on the air?
Yeah, we have Kathy and Webster on the line.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Good morning. How are you?
Well, hi. Good morning. I'm fine, and I'm so glad I got in to talk to you all about my car. I have a car that I store in our garage. And it's used twice a year when my family comes in for Christmas and when they come in for 4th of July weekend. Of course, they're coming in now this week. But what happened is just before they came in for Christmas, I put in a new battery and it was running fine. But then it sat in the garage now for the last 6 months. I couldn't get it started last week, so I had somebody come and do a jump start for me. And I drove it for about, 45 minutes or so just to, you know, get it up and running again and pulled it back in the garage. Next day, I thought, well, I'll take that car over to the grocery. Well, I couldn't get it started. I needed to jump start it again. So jump started it again. And I thought, I better just run it out, you know, again, another half hour or so, put it back in the garage. A little bit later that afternoon, wanted to go to the grocery finally, and the battery was dead again, had to jump start. What do you think's happening?
Well, the key point there is that even after you've driven for a half hour, 45 minutes, which puts a decent charge, you know, ideally we'd drive it an hour or longer, but I think you've driven enough to put enough charge back into the battery, especially since it only sat for a couple hours before you went to try to go to the grocery store. So I wonder a couple things. Is the battery defective? It's a possibility. Have them test that. You know, have them charge it and test it. Is the alternator not charging that battery, meaning you're driving the vehicle and it's putting something up but not enough to fill the battery up? Or when you shut the vehicle off, is something staying on? Now, not necessarily saying like a light staying on, but if something's not shutting down, creating a drain on that battery, you may not realize it, but you shut the car off, you go inside, there's something that's wearing the battery down. So I think it's fair to say if you can get in before your family comes into town, have them do an electrical systems test, share that story with them. You know, I had it jump started, I've driven it, It only sat for a couple hours and it wouldn't start again. That should give them some clues to check for a drain, check the output of the alternator, and then retest that battery to make sure it's not defective. Hopefully it's an easy fix and get that fixed up before your family comes into town.
651-461-9226. We are talking to Nick Stoffel with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, taking your questions on car care. 651-461-9226. We have Judy on the line next with a question. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine. I have a question regarding oil. I have a 2020 Subaru Forester Touring. And I think I understand that there's different levels of synthetic oil. Is that correct?
Well, there's different marketing levels of the term synthetic. If your vehicle, I believe, uses a 0W20 weight oil, that's probably full synthetic because it's the way it's engineered. You go back a few years or a decade, and there was semi-synthetic and synthetic blend, which is kind of a marketing theme where they really didn't know what you're getting. But a full synthetic, if it's advertised full synthetic, it should be full synthetic. So I wouldn't worry on that front.
Okay. Any follow-up, Judy, or did you get
synthetic?
Yeah, full synthetic.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for listening this morning. And if you are listening and you have a question about your vehicle, whether it's an SUV, a truck, a car, a motorcycle, maybe not. You don't do motorcycles, do you, Nick?
Oh, well, we try not to, but we'll dabble in anything. You can imagine over the years the things that people come in with, you know, and we help how we can, when we can, but sometimes it's not in our wheelhouse.
How long has Lloyd's Automotive been in operation? Long time, right? Right in St. Paul?
Long time. Oh, yeah. Well, I think, if I remember right, when you've been there before, I think we've done a few spots with Dan, you know, as you know.
Yep, Dan
Lloyd's started in the 40s. Harold Lloyd, I believe his name was, he had sold it to a gentleman named Don Lavelle who'd worked there for a long time. Dan bought it from Don in, I believe, 1991.
Mm-hmm.
I started working for Dan in 1998.
Wow.
Had the opportunity to buy Lloyd from Dan in 2021. And Dan still works sometimes, believe it or not. He was there this week. So he's not far. He's still around, and I love having him there. It's having your mentor there to make sure you're not screwing up. You know, it's been 5 years, but I still need a little guidance from time to time. But things are great.
Well, you tell him Susie Jones said hi. Dan and I, I've done shows and I've done interviews at your place before. You know, we're coming to the bottom, but I want to remind people to keep calling and texting with questions at 651-461-9226. We're talking about, I wanted to ask about tune-ups. Like, you get your winter tune-up for your air conditioner and your air conditioner tune-up in the summer, your furnace, I mean. Is there such a thing as a tune-up, and should we be getting them at the summer and winter time?
That term has stuck strong in the industry and in our lives of cars. You know, a tune-up goes back to when you could adjust things. You know, you had points and condensers and timing and all these things that were adjustable, and it's kind of morphed into spark plugs and some of these other fluid services. And I always say it kind of follows along with your maintenance schedule. You know, if you look at your owner's manual, or if you get online and, you know, find something from the manufacturer that gives you a timeline or interval on certain fluids or services, you know, whether it's a timing belt or a transmission fluid or the spark plugs, as I mentioned, all those things have an interval or a time schedule that they require repair or work on them. Now, those maintenance intervals are a good guide. It isn't saying you have to follow the letter of the law, obviously, but it's a good guideline. Each vehicle is a little bit different. We all drive a little bit differently. You might be living in a rural area where you're on dirt roads all the time. I suspect your air filter is going to get dirtier faster than mine because I live in the city. You know, so there's scenarios like that that can make things a little bit different. But I think getting that maintenance interval, following that schedule, if it's 30,000, 60,000, 90,000 miles, what have, do the best to follow that. Like you said, asked earlier, how long do cars last? If you follow those schedules, to get a couple, 200,000, 300,000 miles out of any vehicle is not unreasonable.
Oh, that's good to know, especially if you don't want a car payment. And I own my car, and it's a Hyundai Sonata, and it has 160,000. And I just spent some money with those brakes, so I'm going to keep that thing, even though I really want an SUV. But my mechanic, and I think, and I'm going to get to the break here, how important it is to have a relationship with your mechanic. I want to talk about that too, because that's, there's so much trust involved in this process when you're spending money on your car to get repaired, that it's so important to, you know what I mean, to have that relationship, right?
You're 100% correct. You know, I would say we're fortunately successful because of the relationships. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people can put parts on cars. However, to be able to articulate, explain, help them make the decision. Like I said earlier, you don't have to do everything today. There might be some things that are necessary, you know, you're necessary that you have to do, but there's some things that we can schedule, plan out. Let's do this before the winter. Let's do this before the summer. You know, there's things that you can push out and budget for. So it isn't they have to do everything today. And if you have that relationship and those conversations with your mechanic or with your garage, I think you have a much better experience.
All right, it is 7:32. I am ready for the bottom of the hour break. We'll do some weather, and we'll be back with more of your questions here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we're back with the final segment of our Car Care Hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you're just tuning in, I'm Susie Jones, and I'm in today for Laura Oakes, who is on vacation. And we have with us on our news line Nick Stoffel with Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, taking your calls and texts at 651-461-9226. A texter writes, Nick, how many miles can I get on full synthetic 0W20?
I'd like to stay, we want to stick with the 5,000 mile interval. You know, I mentioned earlier that some of the manufacturers might advise differently. I'm not a scientist or a chemist or an engineer. I just know when we do a lot of repairs, it's kind of based on oil, or those oil engine repairs are based on lack of maintenance. So that 5,000 mile interval is good for the oil. It's also good for the car, because having the car in a couple times a year just to get it in the air and inspect the tires, the brakes, the steering, suspension, all these things that we just assume are going to work for us. As we know, as we get out of pothole season, we all had a lot of rough roads that we went across. Having that suspension checked is important. You know, you want to make sure if something is loose or worn, it can be repaired or tightened. You don't want to have a situation where you have a failure, then you're stranded. So not just having the oil change done at that time frame, but also having the car looked at, assessed to make sure it's a good working order.
I was at my mechanic and mentioned the fact that there is a need for mechanics. I know people are out there looking for jobs. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think the trades as a whole are doing better. I would say that the trade schools are, at least the mechanic or the automotive side, have good enrollment. And it takes a little time. You know, most of the schools are a two-year program. You know, you get out of school and you have a very good grasp of all the concepts and theories, and it's time to put it to practice. And that can take a couple of years on the job to become more proficient. And, you know, after a handful of years, you become a master technician, master mechanic, and you can make a very good living. The term grease monkey, I think, is behind us. There's a lot more computerization, a lot more electronics, a lot more thinking. You know, the critical thinking is probably one of the biggest traits you need to have to do fix cars, because there's such a variety of things that you see and possibilities. And you got to have that, you know, the mechanical aptitude to go with it. But to have that critical thinking and the understanding of electronics is more important now than ever. So I feel that the young people, or the any people getting into our industry, see it differently than it was 20, 30 years ago.
All right. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, I have a 2018 Ford Escort or EcoSport. I had the purge valve replaced about a month and a half ago, and now the same code is coming up again.
Purge valve is part of the evaporative system. When the check engine light comes on, unfortunately, people say, oh, it's just the gas cap. Well, it could be, but not necessary. The EVAP system is designed to contain those fuel vapors. The purge valve is designed when the car's running in the right situation, that purge valve opens and allows those fuel vapors to be consumed by the engine, so they burn them off and clean them versus going out into the atmosphere. Something with that system isn't working. They replaced that valve. It's possible that there could be a vacuum leak. It's possible there could be a vent valve. There's other components in that system. So I would say take it back, have them reassess, and see where that fault lies.
All right. Thank you for that call. Thank you for that text. We have Gary on our news line with a question for you. Gary, go ahead. You're on with Nick.
Yeah. Hi, Nick. Thank you for taking the call. I have a 2019 Dodge Ram. We were driving and we could smell a strange smell. And then all of a sudden, my wife said that she felt the floor, there was wetness on the floor. And I believe it's, well, I'm pretty certain that it was the heater core. And so I disconnected those and reconnected them to bypass the heater core. So now I'm faced with thinking that I'm going to have to replace that heater core. We've driven it now for a month and there hasn't been an issue by bypassing it. My question is, how involved is it to change out that heater core in my 2019 Ram 1500?
To be honest, I don't know the procedure. You sound pretty handy. You were able to take those heater hoses and, you know, splice them together to bypass it. So you have some aptitude there, which is great. Get the manual, read on it. A lot of cases, you're taking part of the dashboard apart. And if you do your due diligence, you have the ability to take your time and read it through. I would have no issue with anybody attempting that. The problem that we see is that we get in a hurry and people take shortcuts. And within that dash, there's a lot of things behind that dashboard. If something gets forgotten or damaged, then you create a rattle or you create something else that's not working. So I would advise you, read the manual. If you have the tools, the time frame, by all means, go ahead and have at it. Just, you know, make sure you're aware of that. And if you get that apart, now the car's stranded also. So don't get in a situation where you back yourself into the corner where I've got this thing all apart, now I need to have it towed somewhere. And finding somebody who want to reassemble something you've already taken apart can be difficult too. So just have a lot of conversations, do your research. A lot of cases, it can be a good 8-10 hours worth of work, to be honest. Some cases, it's 2 or 3 hours. So there's a wide range of possibilities there. So once again, do your research. Make sure you're prepared if you do attempt to do it on your own.
How many people are cars so complicated these days, Nick, that it's hard to do a repair on your own?
It's getting that way. You know, this is what we do every day, and I feel like almost on a monthly basis we need to buy a specialty tool. It's not just sockets and wrenches anymore. There's just all these different types of fittings and, and having even if to disconnect some electrical connector, sometimes you need a tool to remove them. You know, it's everything is not as, you know, it used to be a fractional socket or a metric socket or wrench, and you could take anything apart. Those days are behind us. If you have the tooling, and there's a lot of smart people out there, you know, and you can be very book smart, but make sure you have the mechanical aptitude to go with it. Because when you get, you know, you watch a YouTube video, people say this all the time. I watched the video, it was 2 minutes. It didn't look that hard. Well, I can promise you, if it was that easy, some days we wish it was, but you know, so just be, you know, a little self-aware, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, don't put yourself in a position where you take something apart. Cause like I had said, if you take it apart and it didn't go well, it's going to be a hard time finding somebody to help you put it back together.
Yeah, no kidding. So where are you in St. Paul? Remind folks listening if they want to come in.
Absolutely. So we're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue at 982, which is 2 blocks east of Lexington Parkway. If you ever have a question, we will always give you advice. We're not afraid. And don't be afraid to call us, 651-228-1316. You can find all that information and more at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Hey, can you say the phone number one more time for me?
Yes, 651-228-1316.
So if you have a question about your car, don't take it apart yourself.
Well, make sure you're prepared and careful.
In the Twin Cities.